step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 542. I'm Lisa Sheps. I'm joined by the Chilly Willy, Miss Nicole Shiro. Oh, wait, say that again.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP, HD1, HD3, Hornsby, streaming live as we do on Wednesdays on KOOP.org. Please do not go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, November 13th. On the show today, we have the Generic Ensemble Company and their show, The Future of Ismael. And of course, we have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Illinois, and Chicago, Arkansas. Don't go away.
Walls of iron and concrete. Hound dogs howling round.
You know, my family used to vacation in Chicago, Arkansas.
Ooh.
So it's a lovely little place that does not exist, and that's why we went there. Because my family did not take vacations, Nicole Shiro. We did not do vacations.
You never just all got thrown in the car and went?
No, my parents worked in retail, and they worked 6 days a week.
So did my mom, but she would just throw us in a car and drive us somewhere, even if it was 45 minutes away. She's like, get in the car. We're going to explore.
Yeah,
no,
Where are we going?
We'll find out when we get there.
We didn't get that. You did not live in my family.
You did not.
So
I know.
Checking in with you.
Hello.
Just checking in right now. We'll get to the big news of the day of you in just a little moment.
I'm here.
You're here.
I'm here. And how are you?
How do you like this weather? I'm good. I like this weather. I'm in favor.
It was. I came from this weather in New York and came right back into this weather here. So
there you go.
Know.
There you go. Let's introduce.
It's winter.
It is. Let's introduce the folks that are here in the studio, shall we?
We have fun people today.
We do.
We've been giggling all sorts of shenanigans galore.
There are shenanigans going on in the studio. Welcome, KT Shore.
Hello.
Welcome back. How are you?
I'm great. How are you,
Excellent.
Lisa?
What's your vote on the weather?
I come from the north, so I need this so I don't melt into the ground.
Excellent. Siri Gurudev.
Hi.
How are you? You do not come from the north.
I do not, and I hate this weather.
Hate is a pretty severe word.
I hate it.
I feel like, though, she felt strongly about that, so I'm okay with it.
And Grayson Hunt, welcome to the show. You're a newbie.
I'm a newbie, and like Siri, I'm not from here. I'm from Canada, so...
Oh, well, then this is warm, right, though?
They hate this weather.
What part of Canada?
The Canada called Ontario.
I love Canada,
specifically
Ontario.
Midland, Ontario.
Okay. Love it. I would hitch my wagon and move to Montreal in un heartbeat.
Would you really?
Yes, I love Montreal.
Oh, see, I love Vancouver.
It was supposed to be
French. It was supposed to be French, but it was nowhere near.
But it was more like German. Yes.
Yeah.
So we're going to start.
If it was German, it would be Eins, but whatever. Sure.
Wow, I just got burned on my burn.
So we're going to shake things up a little bit here. We're going to do things. We're actually, this is sort of opposite day. I am going to spend a little time talking to Miss Nicole Shiro about her trip. She just came back from New York and she saw four incredible shows and we're going to talk about those. And then we're going to talk to the Generic Ensemble Theater or Generic Ensemble Company.
Yay.
And I keep wanting to throw a theater in there and I know it's not in there. And then we're going to do our normal conversations at the end of the show. It'll be fun. It's upside down day.
Boop, boop, boop.
All right. So let's start with just list off the four things you saw.
I saw Hadestown. I saw the Christmas Spectacular Radio City with the Rockettes. I saw Tina, the Tina Turner musical. And I saw Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah. Great. Let's start with Tina because they just opened. And they were on our list to talk about. We haven't really talked about it, but from what I hear about your voice, you really enjoyed it.
I had a ball. And interestingly enough, the show started and I'm like, boy, Tina doesn't look the same. On Saturday matinees and Wednesday matinees, Nikiki is the Tina. I did not get Adrian. And I have to tell you, she was better than anything I've seen Adrian do. And I listened to the album now and I'm like, yeah, I went Nikiki. She did it in London also, altered, like doing this role the same way, casting with Adrian. I already do have tickets to go back to see Adrian, actually.
Well, it's funny. So the critics were universally not happy with this piece.
It's not the greatest written, so to speak.
Which is where they had their problem.
But the performance level and what is happening on that stage is so electrifying. I can't even really put it into words. It excited me this as much as Hadestown did, and I've been obsessed with that. And I don't do these like jukebox musicals. They are not my thing. But oh my gosh, the talent. And I mean, the story was there was two things that factually I was like, that's wrong. And I let it go really quickly because it overall was so good. And
actually, interestingly enough, one of the things that in the Jesse Green review was he was talking about how if you talk about the biopic of Tina Turner, that was half of it was not true. Half it was. It was very interesting. He said with this one, it's all pretty much true, which makes it much more boring.
Okay, I should say the factual is that they used a 1984 song from her album back in the 60s to sing. And that was like, you doing? And why even throw Mad Max in there to put ashes out?
Which is exactly what he said as a criticism.
Because
he had the same problem.
They then tried to make the song about the script instead of just the song and the moment, which everything else worked beautifully.
Well, and I should say before I say what I'm going to say next is they all loved her, who you didn't see. I mean, all the critics were just saying that she was just amazing.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, I cannot think of his name offhand right now, but the guy who played Ike was out of control, and I felt really bad. Like, what a hard role to play because everybody was like booing him.
Nobody likes him.
But because of who Ike Turner is. Is and then
was
exactly, you're right, he is, he did OD and
Daniel J. Watts,
yes, and I've seen him perform before, but man, and then everybody started clapping. But I will tell you, the young lady who plays young anime plays Tina as a child steals that show. Oh my gosh, does she have a voice? She must be 8 or 9, and I can't wait to see all the other things she does because holy bananas.
Here's what I want to do next time we see it, we talk about a show that you love, is we're going to play a drinking game, and every time you say, oh my God, we're going to take a sip.
You all
because
we'd
be drunk.
You'd be
right
all
now.
On the floor right now.
So
did have an excellent drink there called the Proud Mary.
Excellent.
It was very tasty.
I'm speechless. One of the things that I was thinking about when I see this, that they talk about how thin the story is and how it is, it's this thing about finding songs and then trying to drape a story around it, which was when you saw Mamma Mia, which was not the precursor of the jukebox musicals, but it was the one that started this whole latest craze of them. And it was just the story was so thin, and it was frustrating to watch, no matter how good the performances
were. Yeah, they only did that twice on those two songs I really mentioned, and the rest all made sense. Like,
oh, actually, he cited three, but I don't remember what the other ones were.
I don't remember the other one.
Yeah.
But you know, when she's singing River Deep, Mountain High, she's in the studio with Phil Spector. There's a whole moment of him telling her how to sing it different. Like, it all makes sense. Didn't in those Mad Max and...
Yeah. Well, okay. So it's just because we could talk about this all day long.
You better
so,
be good to me. That's what they did the other one.
Tina Turner musical opened last Thursday.
I really enjoyed it. I can't believe how much I enjoyed it. And my mom and I, we just had such a good time together.
What do you want to talk about next? We only have 5 minutes.
I want to talk Little Shop of Horrors really quick.
Little Shop of Horrors, Little Shop. Little Shop of
Terrors. The production that is playing off Broadway that Jonathan Groff is starring in, but I went specifically because these are the 2 weeks he's out and Gideon Glick is playing the role. He just left To Kill a Mockingbird days before I saw him in this. Whoa, talk about going from one extreme to the other. Like 4 days later, you're up there playing Seymour. But OMG, Christian
everybody
Borle.
Take a drink.
Christian
Love
Borle.
Christian Borle.
He did play all the other characters besides the dentist, just like I was hoping he would. And
what do you mean?
So all the other characters, like hey, when you come in, the guy number two, buy me.
Oh, okay.
All the
oh,
bum on the street.
Those?
He did. Lovely. Remember I said Douglas Sills did it on Broadway a few years ago, and I was hoping they would do that, and they did. And I mean, he and I were this close the whole time. Mom and I were in the front row right there in this teeny little theater. And Tammy Blanchard did a really own different version of Audrey, which was great.
Yep.
It was so good. It was really, really good. And Gideon, I just love him.
I must say, I'm happy to say that these two latest incarnations of Little Shop, and especially the one out at Pasadena Playhouse, done such a good job of shaking it up a little bit. Nobody's trying to do Ellen Green anymore.
Nope.
Which I think is good for the piece, and it's probably good for Ellen Green.
And his Seymour, Gideon Seymour, was not a way I've really seen Seymour, even though it's dorky, lovable, but you hate him, love him kind of Seymour. Like, it was really good. Mr. Mushnick, everybody, the whole cast was really good. And the plant budget was nice.
The
plant came out onto us during Don't Feed the Plants. I was like, well, hello, plant. And Hadestown.
And
I almost didn't
Hadestown.
Make Hadestown. My flight, the hydraulic fluid was waterfalling off the plane. And I got one of the very last seats on a different plane. I literally made it into New York 5 minutes sitting in my seat and the curtain went. But wow.
Now you'd seen Hadestown before, haven't you?
No, I've just been obsessed with it and know everything about it and could have told you the blocking without seeing it, but yes.
Did you get to see a friend of the show?
I didn't see Patrick afterwards, but I did see Stuart Moulton afterwards.
Stuart Moulton, also a friend of the show.
Yes. He was at teaching trapeze class that evening.
Yeah, did you
and
record him for
right
anything?
Afterwards, no, we were all like really tired. I was on like 2 hours of sleep. That was interesting to see a show when you're tired. But it was kind of everything. Hard to fall asleep when it's Hadestown.
Okay, cool. And then the final thing that you saw.
Mom and I always do the Rockettes, and we decided to get it in early before the crazy Christmas mishuganess that goes on there. And, you know, when the Rockettes dance, there is nothing like a high kick like watching them dance. All that other Santa fluffy junk they've added into it is now way too much.
We call
much.
That SFJ.
Just give me more high kicks. But the guy behind us was so New York. Every time something was happening, he was like, oh, yeah, this is great. And when the angels came flying out at the nativity scene, he was like, oh, epic. I was like, Mom, I don't know if the guy behind me or the show is better. But yes, the camels and everything.
Camels,
we wondered.
The animals,
they're all still there.
They're all still there. My my friend Nicola Taylor used to stage manage that, and she would like have tales of the animals. No pun intended.
So a few of the numbers I didn't really recognize. They seem new, but of course Vincent Minnelli's toy soldier is in there. If they ever get rid of that, I mean, it's just not Christmas. And I watched the tree going up in Rockefeller.
Yeah. I actually watched it live on the Today Show as it drove in. It's really kind of a shame. So I remember the first time we went to Rockefeller Center and actually looked at the tree close up, they tape other branches onto it to fill it out. So you see this tree and then there's stapled to it other branches.
It's interesting because they'll do it. I watched them like building the scaffolding around it as it goes up. It was really,
it's
just fascinating to watch. But yeah, so I'm totally like, Got the Christmas, because that spirit and juju just flies in New York once
yes,
that
does.
Tree rolls in, and I am all about it. And for the first time in like a long time since I lived there, I'm excited about Christmas before Thanksgiving. Woo!
I've always said about New York versus Chicago, New York is a real winter town. I love New York in the winter.
Nothing like it.
And it does, everybody leaves in the summer, and it's exactly opposite in Chicago.
It's magical this time of year. Magical. And I saw the snow globes for Broadway in Times Square. I went sure.
Oh, that's right.
They're
I was supposed to talk about
corner.
That last week, and we didn't.
Yeah, they're hidden in the corner, but I had to run
nothing,
over to find
that
them.
That does nothing for me.
They were pretty cool. I just wish they were in like a better spot.
Just going to say they do nothing for me. So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and talk to the Generic Ensemble Company. And this song is just for you.
Take the moment in and remember here and now.
We are B-A-C Key. B-A-C Key.
B-A-C-K
back.
B-A-C key today.
B-A-C key. That's going to be the
that's
opening number.
That's key changes.
Our new opening.
KT, when I sing, it's nothing but key changes. So let's introduce the folks from Generic Ensemble Company and talking about their show, The Future of Ismael. And we'll start in the same order we did before. KT Shorb, the artistic director, creator of Generic Ensemble Company and the director of this piece.
Welcome. Hello.
And then Siri Garudev, who is the writer of this piece.
Hey.
Don't sound so excited. And Grayson Hunt, one of the performers of this piece. Oh. I would like to just point out and I'm just going to say that Margaret is here. I didn't get your last name, so it's just going to be Margaret. Margaret is the stage manager and doesn't want to talk on air, so
no,
I decided
she's
that
she's been smiling the whole time. I've seen her out of my
decided I was
going to
embarrass her a little bit,
yeah.
and mention her. So Margaret and KT did not get the hat note before they came in.
I know, it's true.
Oh, come yeah, on. We are a little hat-licious in here today, aren't we?
Just saying that. So, Siri, tell us, our audience, everything about this show. What is it?
Everything, I will tell you. Okay, so this started as a novel.
Oh.
So I was doing my master, like creative writing master's degree in Colombia, and the final project was to write a novel. So I wrote it, and then...
I'm sorry. I've got to stop you, because that just seems like a crazy assignment. Write a novel.
Yeah, you can you can do like a book of poems or like a play, and I choose like writing a novel.
Okay.
And then I wanted to publish it because it was 2 years of work, and so I was like going to every publishing house, can you just publish this? That is sci-fi.
I wish we had the camera going, because she was really like, knocking on the doors and everything.
Can you just publish this, for God's sake?
Just do it.
But it's sci-fi, and then it's super experimental, because it was like, it has all sorts of like writing, and then it has sex, a lot of sex, and then it's full of trans people.
Uh-huh.
So everyone was like, I don't know about this, until Random House published it with through a small publishing house that is like specializing in sci-fi from Spain or something like that. And when I came here, I was like, oh, I want to make this a play. And so that's how it started. But it's been like a while, of like a lot of work.
So how long after writing the book did it take you then to turn it into a play?
I will say 2 years,
Oh, that's a journey.
That is a journey.
Because, of course, I'm not a native speaker either, so it was a whole thing about the
language. Yeah, that is a whole nother
one. So the novel, I'm assuming, then was in Spanish, and this play is written in English.
Correct.
Oh, wow. Yes. So had no idea, and I do need to say that we were working together when you came out one day and said, they're producing my play, and I didn't know that you had done that, and so I had no idea. And now, even then, I thought, oh, it was something that they penned just on a whim for a class, and somebody said, well, I'm going to turn this into it. I'm going to produce this. But no, this has been a long time work for you.
No, it's an actual amazing book. It's a really, it's a green book. It's a thin book. It's very, I'm not fluent in Spanish, but I thumbed through it, and what I could get, it was very like Siri, in that the language seemed very poetic, and it was a lot of poems and poetry. So
did Siri approach you to produce this piece, or did you find it and approach them?
I don't remember.
I told you.
I think you mentioned it.
Yes.
And then later I was like, so I'm going to produce your show, right?
Great. Well,
that sounds exciting. It's like, okay, I'm going to produce your show.
No, I think it was like, hey, so can I would like to produce your show. Do you have someone else that you've been talking to? And I feel like you were like, I think I made this up, but in my memory, you're like, in my memory, you're like, oh, I want you to produce it, and I wanted you to produce it all along. That's my memory. I don't know if that's what you actually said.
I say that sounds good. Go with it.
Yeah, go with it. Let's
and
go
then,
with
Grayson,
it.
When at what point did you get involved?
Oh, when auditions were called.
Okay. You just like picked up backstage and came to the open call?
I knew.
Sorry, I went back to New York for just a second.
Siri and I had met a year ago when Enron was casting at UT, and Enron's production was for women and non-binary folks. And so that was a kind of interesting casting call. Women, trans folks, and non-binary folks. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anyway, so I showed up, Siri was there, and we were asking lots of questions about, like, okay, you want trans people in this play? Are they ready for us? And I just asked a simple question of, like, where are the all-gender restrooms? Mm-hmm. So like, oh, well, they're not in this building. And I just kind of got scared, and Siri and I had a moment where we're like, I don't know if this is our start yet.
Right.
But we connected there. And, you know, I'd been following them and their work, and then they put out this call. And then the night, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but the night before auditions, I decided, I said, I'm going to audition for this. So I prepared my 3-minute long monologue and showed up the next day.
And tell us about the role you're playing in this piece.
I have two ensemble roles. One is policeman. And the other
policeman.
Is
policeman.
Policeman.
Okay.
And the other is Indigo. And... Indigo is a social justice warrior who believes in violence
as
a method of justice. And the police officer is a police officer and believes in violence in order to maintain power.
Oh, interesting.
And I said to Siri the other day, like, you know, these characters are like mirror images. Like, they're very similar.
Yeah.
And they said, well, I'm not necessarily. I'm like, no, they are. And I've been studying the lines, and they really are.
Mm-hmm.
But one character, I mean, I'll leave it up to you if, you know, you want more information on the show, we'll tell you. But
you're the best.
In my opinion, they're similar, but I've been told that one character is a lot more empathetic than the other.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just going to make an assumption that I think I know who it is.
Well, and we did, for Policeman in particular, take much inspiration from The Matrix.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
in terms
it's Agent
of,
Smith, basically.
Yeah, shaping.
That's funny, because where my head was going.
Agent
as you were describing, I'm like, oh,
Matrix, Agent Smith. Mm-hmm. It was so hard to write a policeman. I was so bad at it.
The
it was
first
so
version.
It was like, dude, wake up. They were like, what is this? I'm like, I don't know, I hate policemen. I don't know what to do. So, and then we took like Smith, Agent Smith, and that one.
My nowadays, when I hear Matrix, I think of Matrix Kilgore. I do not think of the film The Matrix.
No.
I was also a late comer to The Matrix.
We're talking Keanu. It's the Keanu. Language of Keanu.
Yeah, Matrix by the Wachowskis.
Yes.
Which we feel, being that the Wachowskis is created by trans people, mm-hmm. that it makes sense that we're
talking
from them.
That's true. What was your approach as director to this piece?
It's a hard script. So, because... I think the novel is challenging. I mean, again, I'm not fluent in Spanish, but from what I could glean from what I read, like the novel was challenging, not just in content material, but in form. And then I wanted to do something that would make sense of the script that Siri was creating. And we kind of, at some point, the Siri's revisions of the script and the rehearsing was on top of each other,
should happen in an original piece.
As happens, and then also like with my company, that it probably would have been weird if that didn't happen. And so my part of my approach was trying to figure out how to make it was kind of a filmic script,
okay,
and how to make that work on stage. But then another big part was not everybody in the cast. There's a very wide range of experience in terms of acting, so trying to get everybody in a place where the acting could work together was it's hard to tell which was my first priority, which was like, I'm not used to working with a playwright, but I, of course, love and respect Siri as a human, so I didn't want to offend them. I mean, most of the time I'm like, text. It's text. Which is why it's funny. I'm teaching a play analysis class. But because I think text is prioritize too highly in theater. But because I respect Siri, I didn't want to offend them. And then I also wanted to... It's always my goal to have Genenko actors be better actors at the end of a production than at the beginning.
I love hearing you say that.
No, I mean, I would say that I would hope that that everybody approaches a project that way. You would certainly hope that everybody is. I know I'm different at the end of a production. Whether I'm better or worse is a whole is a different argument. But I know that I have moved one way the direction at the end. So we won't hope that that's the case.
I mean, maybe people... I don't necessarily think many directors think about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of directors just want the show to look like how they want the show to look.
Mm. That's a shame.
I find that
a shame. And I find that... the approach of where you are to a creative team, and that's what I love about the creative process. That's why I like working on original pieces, because that script that the playwright wrote and that the director read and presumably gets worked on before rehearsal, so it's a different piece when it goes into rehearsal, and I think it should be a different piece once the actors add their creative piece to it, and so by the time it gets in front of an audience, it's yet a third thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I think that's magical. That's what I love about the creative process.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, the other thing is, I think it's very important for... It's great to do an all trans and non-binary show, and it's great when those actors can act in other pieces as well.
Yeah.
So, and this has always been a goal of all the actors I've worked with. I mean, of course, I've worked with actors who don't need me at all. And then sometimes I've worked with people who this is literally their first time on stage. And so it's my goal to work with people so that they can be in more shows.
Yeah.
And in fact, one of our actors is already cast in a show that begins rehearsing and right after we close.
How big is the cast?
6 people. It's pretty small. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's big for us. It's big, but for the world, it's...
Well, the wonderful thing is someone who just did, and Siri was part of it, an all-trans and non-binary show, it's hard to find performers that are trained and relatively experienced to do that. And with companies like Genenko and our little contribution to the thing, to the piece, we're creating here in Austin a group of trans and non-binary actors that can go out there and work with a lot of different companies.
Mm-hmm.
So
you had a good size cast in Transom too.
Six, seven.
Seven.
I was like,
yeah.
Wasn't there seven or eight?
There was seven.
Mm-hmm.
Seven. But no, so that's great. And it's it sounds like a wonderful piece. Y'all been playing for a week now?
Yeah, we opened on the 7th.
How have you been received?
How have we been received?
was not a trick question.
Well, we would love for our audiences to grow.
Yes.
I think I just followed the rules by saying that.
Yeah.
yes. And I think I'm trying to lean into, to have a combination of slick Battlestar Galactica feel as well as 70s B movie feel, because it's a queer show.
That's a great combination.
So yeah, I mean, it's a queer, it's a queer show. So to try to get rid of camp is just this silly thing, because that's our thing. So
I texted my sister up in Canada a photo of one of my scenes with Ismael, and my sister said it looks like Barbarella.
That's another good one. I mean,
that's a good one.
And there is sexy stuff in this movie too.
So I can assume I'm not going to bring my 7-year-old child to the show, probably.
Mm.
Or am
I? A friend of mine asked. Fine. They have an 8-year-old son who hangs with us, and
I'll say that.
There's no nudity.
Yeah.
No.
There is simulated
sex. They will ask questions
sex.
At the end, for sure.
There's simulated sex acts.
Yep.
Yep.
So if anything, you've got to be prepared to be able to open up a dialogue
exactly.
with your kid if you want to bring them.
Yeah.
Well, it's awesome. You're open now. How long do y'all play? When do you close?
Until November 23rd.
23rd. Mm-hmm. And where are you playing?
The Doherty Arts Center.
The Doherty Arts Center. And for more information, where should folks go?
Now playing
Austin would be a good look. I will say this, that it's not up on genenco.org as of yet, but it would be a nice place to visit because it's a wonderful site, and you can see things that you've done in the past and learn about Genenco, which is a really, really important theater company here in Austin.
So
to find information about this show, The Future of Ismael, best place is just to go to Now Playing Austin. It's on the front page. When you click on Now Playing Austin, it just sits right there.
I was about to say, it's right up at the top, staring at me.
Because that's us.
True. Well, thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank you.
And I know, KT, you have to scoot away, but hopefully Siri and Grayson, you might be able to stick around. But thanks. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to get to get over to see it. It's killing me. But I've heard lots of reports about wonderful things.
Yay.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was KT Shorp, Siri Garudev, and Grayson Hunt of Generic Ensemble Companies, The Future of Ismael. Playing now through October 23rd.
November.
Well, I'm going to make it October. No, November 23rd. Thank you, KT. At the Daugherty Arts Center. For more information, search them on Now Playing Austin. We will be right back. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
And Lisa.
Both of us. Hey, Grayson, you've never been on the show, and so I'm going to make you do some work.
You got a job.
I hope you have very good math skills.
Oh,
I'm teasing. I just need you to choose a number between 2 and 53.
6.
Six. I don't know if we've had six.
Yeah,
here.
I don't think six is chosen.
Let's see what that is.
Hi, I'm Robert Biederman, playing Captain George Brackett in the cast of South Pacific on Tour, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin 91.7 FM.
Robert Biederman.
He just pops in there with
he comes
his
a lot.
South
He's
Pacific,
probably the most
like, all the time.
Yep, we hear him a lot.
We do.
So
I wonder what he's doing these days.
Yeah, here I don't know. Here we go. We're going to just talk quickly local. We're going to do our Today in Theater History, but I just wanted to talk about Spring Awakening that's happening
at
the University of Texas.
The UT, as you like to say.
At UT. It plays through this weekend. And out in Wimberley, the Wimberley Players are doing Next to Normal. And
they
open this weekend.
They do.
So you get a lot of chances to see Next to Normal.
You do.
So you can see it starting this weekend, and it closes on December 1st. And then on December 5th, it opens again at Ground Floor Theater, a different production.
It does, different production. Yeah. This production in American Sign Language and English.
Yep. So Next to Normal is very present in Central Texas right now. Teatro Vivo is doing a show as part of this whole Latinx military thing. Festival? Something. But along with Thinkery in Verse, and they're doing a show called Aftershock, mm-hmm. La Replica. And I'm just going to read this little description. It sounds sort of interesting.
Cool. Yeah.
Here in 2019, white nationalists are trying to jam Latinos into second-class citizenship. The art that tells our story is the surest way to crush their lies between our feet. Latino military service has always been a way for us to improve our status, both as providers for our families and as protectors to our country. This November, that's now, I just said that part, we get a chance to honor the service and lives of our ancestors and families by looking at the messy, sexy details of what it means to be Latinx and a U.S. soldier. So that is playing at the MAC on the 14th through the 23rd at 8 p.m. More information, teatrovivo.org. And that was it. For mine, did you want to talk about anything?
No, that you had the Teatro Vivo stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, you covered it.
So let's do the...
Isn't it funny that you and I agree but disagree on shows, but we always have the same picky stuff?
It's pretty
most
amazing.
Most of the time.
I think we...
You know what that is?
I think
it's magical.
I think in our heart we agree.
We do.
Let's do Today in Theater History. Today in Theater History.
Today in Theater History.
Way back in 1883.
Brr, that was a cold year.
I hardly even remember this year, but it was the birthday of Edwin Booth.
Oh.
Brother to said John Wilkes Booth.
Yes.
So that happened in 1833.
You know what? They were actors.
They were actors. Well, the whole Booth family. And I just want to throw out to Siri and Grayson and Margaret, if y'all want to sit and join in on this conversation, you're welcome to.
I know. I felt like we put them all in the corner
They all walked away from the microphones. You don't have to, but I'm just saying you can. In 1930, Grand Hotel opened for a 459 performance run at the National Theater. And this was the same Grand Hotel that is later made into a film.
Yes.
And then later made into a musical.
Yes, with one Lillian Montevecchi.
Lillian Montevecchi.
Wouldn't that be funny if she had popped up today?
And my friend Michael DeVries was in it. I saw it. Oh. No, so not Michael DeVries. It was my then friend Bill Roberts.
Michael Jeter was in it. And Jane Krakowski.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say, well, I don't know why I wanted to say a different last name. I enjoyed that. That was one Tommy Toon doing that.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. 1963, Kirk Douglas.
How's the Kirk Douglas doing?
He played McMurphy in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And then it was turned into a film. I didn't even know it was a play.
Yeah, you did it?
I don't think
no,
I did.
No, wait a minute. Yes, you did. I feel like we've had this conversation.
Well, we may
but
have.
That's some interesting cast. That's like Christopher Lloyd going in to play King Lear. That's interesting.
It was revived in 2001. 1965, Julie Harris did her one and only musical.
Didn't you work with Julie Harris?
No. I worked with Juliet Mills.
Yeah, no, I thought we had a Julie. I got to figure out who that was.
Julie Harris. But it was a show called Skyscraper opposite Peter Marshall. Does that name ring a bell to anybody? Peter Marshall?
We played a song. We found something weird or obscure from it at one point.
Peter Marshall was the Match Game host.
Oh, now I'm going to have that theme song in my head.
It also had one Charles Nelson Reilly.
Oh, well, there's another name like Hollywood Squares and Camp. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you put Bruce up there with him and you're good to go.
And so... here I am. I did not know this until today, and I probably should have. Gigi opened in 1973. I didn't realize Gigi was a story by Colette.
Yes.
Did you?
Mm-mm. I did.
I didn't know a lot about the novelist Colette until I did Fun Home, because we talk about her in the show. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and it was Alan J. Lerner, Frederick Lowe. It only ran for an unlucky 13 week, it says, at the Eurus. Here was the cast. Agnes Moorehead, Alfred Drake, Daniel Macy. And then there was a 2015 revival, which didn't do very well. And that was with Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah, we saw that. I didn't think it was going to do well either. No,
well, Gigi is a little fraught in general.
You know how much it bothers me.
Yeah. And then,
bothers me.
So Disney in 1997 on the state opened its second musical ever,
and now how many are open?
A bunch. Enough to now there's a Disney streaming service.
Hello.
I saw that last night.
Did you?
Lady and the Tramp.
Fox and the Hound is my favorite.
Did you know which show was their second musical on Broadway?
What year was it again?
1997.
It wasn't Lion King.
I'm going to make it easy for you.
Okay. Which would be the second longest running Broadway show.
Yeah.
Next to Cats?
No, Cats Meow is number 4. Useless information in this head, just so you know.
All right. I'm just going to cut it short or else we can talk. Well, there's a couple more. Let's talk about Roadside. Musical by Tom Jones and Harvey Schmidt.
Okay, why don't I know more about that?
Because it was a huge flop. Did not closed within a month of their.
Does it mean?
It says it closed late in December, within a month of closing their first musical, The Fantastics. So it closed at the same time The Fantastics closed.
Interesting.
The first time. Yeah. Didn't do well. It opened in November. It closed in December. I still think, never mind. I just feel very upset that the show that I did that closed in 2 days is, and when
not
I hear these flops that ran for 3 months. Anyway.
Do you know what that's called, Lisa? Jaded.
Jaded. And then And I must have been in New York in 2012 around this time, because this is also when the revival of The Mystery of Edwin Drood opened, because I saw the first preview. And that's the Rupert Holmes musical, and it starred Stephanie J. Block, who did a great job. Chida Rivera, don't know who she is.
Who's Chida Rivera?
Chida Rivera, and Will Chase, Greg Edelman, Jesse Mueller, Andy Carl were all in this show.
Okay. Listen, that's a really good cast.
It is. All right. So we're going to take a little break, then we'll come back into our normal conversation. Does that sound like a plan to you?
We're moving and grooving here.
Okay. And I think we're going to play...
What are you going to play for us, Lisa?
Well, it speaks for itself.
Okay.
All right, we're back. We are. This is Offstage and On the Air. We are both a radio show about theater and a technical support line for IT.
Thank you, Lisa.
I was just helping Nicole with her Outlook problems.
I have problems.
Jumping right back into, after we talked about the review of Tina Turner, the musical, Mr. Peter Dinklage. Did anybody watch Game of Thrones?
Peter Dinklage. Did you see that opening where they all sing Peter Dinklage? No. It's the Game of Thrones opening, and some guy with his opera voice just said, I'm going to send it to you. And he's like, Peter Dinklage! And he just sings the whole, it's epic.
Anyway, he just opened off-Broadway with a production of a musical version of Cyrano, yet another musical version of Cyrano.
Yes, we just recently discussed one earlier this summer.
Yes, and it's directed by Erica Schmidt, who is Kimmy's sister. Peter Dinklage's wife. Ben Brantley calls this a somber and monotonous new variation on Cyrano. And what I found...
that's not what you want to hear with funny Cyrano. No.
What I found interesting about this is, like, when you think of Cyrano, there's two iconic things you think about. What do you think? What is that?
The nose.
The nose. And the whole speaking for somebody else thing at the balcony, right?
Yes.
Those are the two things you think about Cyrano. Well, they've gotten rid of the nose in this one.
I heard that was happening.
So they actually, the word the nose only shows up twice in the text. Nose only shows up twice in the text.
Interesting.
And they really use Peter Dinklage's short stature as the thing that is his thing. But one of my first thought was my favorite part of Cyrano de Bergerac, and coincidentally my favorite part of the movie Roxanne, is the diatribe of when they do the insult thing about you are really bad at insulting noses. These are the ways you should do it. It's just such a wonderful speech. Cut from this production because they don't even do that.
Oh.
So.
Interesting.
And the musical part of this is a little one level.
Fraught.
They said. Yeah. So not a great review. And that's where we're going to leave it with Ben Brantley. But I do love me some Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
And he's been on Broadway before. I've got to remember what it was, and I don't remember what it was. It was in 2004.
I was like, it was like Richard 10 III. Years ago, and it was Shakespeare.
And it was the Public Theater, so I guess it wasn't technically Broadway.
It was shabby.
He did Richard III, and then he also did the film The Station Agent, which was just amazing.
I love that film.
Yeah, it was really, really great.
Peter Dinklage is just playing in my head.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't think his stature was even part of that film.
No, he
just happened to be playing that role, so which I give them a lot of credit for back, because that was what 15, 20 years ago. Hmm. Tracy Letts is going to star on his own show.
Boom, boom, boom.
Tracy Letts, who won the Pulitzer for Austin Osage County, which I must say I've never seen on stage, could not watch the film. So
you want to know what's really
I'm
funny?
I'm hoping it's better on stage.
I really enjoy it on stage.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you want to know what? I couldn't watch the film either.
Yeah,
the
film was not good. But he is, he's got a show called The Minutes. It's a political thing. It's a technical term.
It's a lot of names today.
And it's about a city council meeting. And Armie Hammer is in it. Jesse Mueller is in it. It's got a great cast.
Jesse Mueller is just bebopping around everywhere these days.
Yeah. Yeah, she's everywhere.
Go, Jesse.
That's it. So he's going to do that. This was done at the Steppenwolf in Chicago. It's directed by Anna D. Shapiro.
Okay. I was like, this sounds familiar. So this was at the Steppenwolf. Was this like last year? Oh, right. I may not say it. You don't have to answer.
No, I can answer. 2017, which was
like 2 years
kind of last year.
Yeah, you know.
That was so
last
year. and then we just have to talk about this. Remember when, the Curious Incident was playing at the, I forgot which theater in England, and the roof fell in.
Oh, yeah. They had a boom, boom.
Part deux at the Piccadilly Theater in a production of Death of a Salesman.
Yeah, I was like, of all shows, right. Death of a Salesman. And
starring, what's his name? The guy from The Wire. I forgot his name. It's in here.
It was a pretty big hole.
Anyway, big hole. Four people went to the hospital, minor injuries.
Oh my God.
Evidently, I like reading this article because it said it was some sort of water problem.
Yes.
On the floor above them. And this article goes on to talk about somebody hearing them. Well, we heard some dripping.
Oh my God.
Then it got bigger and bigger. And then there was a loud. Then we all said, I think we should stand up and leave. And then the ceiling fell down.
Oh, my God. I mean, and when you're in a play like Death of a Salesman, like, you hear the silence in between and what's going on. So they all heard it. But
Wendell Pierce plays Willie Loman. And he actually told everybody. I like this quote. He says, I did not mean for it to go like this. I ran that bath because
you did,
I was
Wendell. Yeah. You were up there turning on all the water.
So I have a question about culture.
Near the beginning of the show too. Yeah. It was only like 20, 30 minutes in, I think.
So Wendell Pierce, who is American, correct?
Mm-hmm.
He said to the people outside, I did not mean for it to go like this. We are so honored that you came tonight. But they spelled honored the way English people spell it. So if Wendell Pierce is saying it, shouldn't it be spelled the way?
Because you have an English outlet reporting.
Come on, work with me. I was making a joke.
Well, I work in the press biz, I'm going to be serious.
Never going to talk to you anymore.
Nope, that's it.
So one of the shows that you went to see... capitalized, made its
can you believe that? So
$11.5 million. Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Yeah, okay, I'll get you one after the show. Because there's no drinks allowed in the studio.
There you go. Mm.
The first show of the 18-19 Broadway season to recoup one of the smallest houses. But we're talking about Hadestown. We didn't tell our listeners what we're talking
about.
True,
we're talking about Hadestown.
11.5 recouped all their money.
Yep.
Hats off.
It has consistently been selling out its performances. Mm.
You know why? It's because they had a special added Sunday matinee this past weekend. Or Sunday evening performance. That's it. Set them over the edge.
That's exactly why. And yeah, they are the first one, and it's directed by, well, it's directed by Rachel Chavkin, who can do no wrong.
No, I know.
Book and score is by Anais Mitchell. We've talked about it a lot on this show.
Really beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, really wanted to see it. So here's something. So we've been talking about the Ivo Van Hove, or Ivo Van Hove, depending on how you pronounce it.
You're going to give your different pronunciations?
Remake of West Side Story. So it's interesting. A lot of people are very upset. They've cut I Feel Pretty from the show.
It's actually one of the songs I like.
Yeah. Well, they brought it down to an hour and a half. And this is a very interesting article. They talk about how, and Ivo Van Hove is very, is known for stripping things down and changing things up. And he's talking about, the whole show, and I didn't realize this, but when I think about it, it's true. The whole show takes place in 48 hours.
Yes.
So to get that urgency, he wanted to take it from a 3-hour, 2-act musical into a 90-minute, like, let's have this urgency happening. And I find it very, very interesting that he did that. Also, and this has always been a problem with this.
What does Esteban have to say about that?
Well, Esteban's all in favor. He's been all in favor of this
okay,
whole thing.
There you go.
He's also doing the... I Like to Be in America, the film version.
I knew that. That I remember reading, and I was like, that's interesting. Because so it's really kind of, it's, I guess people can look at this at a new, fresh combo package of all the different things.
Folks may not know, but because most people, I'm going to guess, are familiar with the film. And I Want to Be in America is in the first act, and it's done by the Latinx women and against the Latinx men. Mm-hmm. And in the stage, it's done, it's opposite acts. I forgot which way, but it's all the women.
Yes.
And none of the men. And it's they choose sides that way. But actually the movie version is probably a better story.
I was about to say, it makes sense in the movie version. I get it.
Yep. But this is not without controversy.
No,
So they've cast Amar Ramaser, I don't know how to pronounce his name, as Bernardo.
He's going to call you right
and
now.
I think we talked about this on the show, but he danced with American Ballet Theater, and he was fired from American Ballet Theater mm-hmm. for sexual harassment mm-hmm. when he published, I say published, he didn't really publish. He sent topless photos of his ex-girlfriend to another person.
So to multiple other people. There's receipts, man. No.
Anyway, so many people think that ABT fired him.
I was about to say, ABT
for a good reason.
Turned right around and was like, bye-bye.
Very quickly. And then...
it wasn't just him. Another guy got in trouble for
that's
it,
true.
Too,
there were
because
two of them.
He passed all right. the photos around.
So then, Eva Van Hove is taking some heat for hiring this person. Nobody thinks he should be hired. So... I honestly don't have an opinion. I probably wouldn't have hired him, but what do other people think?
I mean, I will say this, you know me, I'm all about change and making
this.
Retributions.
He never apologized for this.
And trying, that's the whole thing. I don't think he's apologized and ever thought he did anything wrong. So that's an issue.
Yes. Agreed.
And two, it's still very fresh. This was all in the last year. This isn't like 5 years ago and this person's made a change. I am all about people learning from mistakes and changing and second chances and understanding. But I don't know about this guy. Yeah. I don't think he learned anything. He doesn't seem to really care.
I think I agree. Anybody else?
So,
no.
You know why, Lisa? Because we're right. We're right about everything.
I just want to say that Grayson shook his head, which doesn't really work on radio.
I didn't know you were going to vocalize it.
I'm just saying.
Lisa likes to show how the sausage is made here at Offstage and on the Air, so be surprised for anything.
Okay, another show, Paper or Plastic, is opening. It's a new High School Musical. Speaking of High School Musical, I do not want to see this, but on the new Disney Channel, they have High School Musical... High School Musical that's series.
There's a few of them.
Oh.
No,
and then
it's
there's
one
a TV
thing.
Show.
Yeah, but this is one thing, and it's called High School Musical, the High School Musical series.
Huh.
It's like two High School Musicals in the same title. I don't know.
It's the High School Musical, the High School Musical, the High School Musical, High School Musical.
Anyway.
High School Musical.
Right.
This is a show called, and I don't know why I'm mentioning it, because I like the title of this show. When I read the description, it doesn't do anything for me.
What's the
but
title?
It's called Paper or Plastic.
Yeah, it is. It is. Okay. It's a great title.
All I'm going to say. Oh,
and you know what it is? Whoever wrote it was probably like, I have the best title ever. And then just sat on it and then wrote it. And, you know.
There you go.
But getting, it could be worked on. It could just be this, it's Carnation now.
It's
and
part
it
of the Ground and Field Theater Festival.
See, it seems like they're working on the piece. So
yeah, there you go. So
we'll just have to see what happens.
I'll let y'all Google that. Okay, we're running out of time. Let me see what Tootsie is closing in January.
I saw that.
We should talk about this. This will be the last thing we talk. Oh, Drama Bookshore is opening. We're going to miss the Actors
with
Temple
with the new location,
which I think is a fascinating article. But I want to talk about this. There was a article in Broadway News called What People of Color Experience at the Theater. And it's a very interesting article about a man of color who happens to be a critic, but that was secondary to the piece.
Right.
What he experienced at the box office when he went to try to leave a ticket for a friend. He said, I can't. And the box office person, who was a elderly, white, presumably cis man, was very rude and wouldn't help him at all. And he stepped to the side to talk to his friend to try to figure things out because his friend was going to be late and he didn't want to be late. Another gentleman came in, another critic who was white, said similar things, and the box office guy bent over backwards.
The curmudgeon old man. Uh huh.
And one could look at it as a single event and go, oh, well, but but as he says, and as people of color know, this happens over and over mm-hmm. and over and over again. And it's just a really interesting article to read, especially for someone who is not a person of color and tends to benefit from the privilege that the second person had. To read these things, just understand what is out there and what's happening to people.
I know.
Yeah.
From even just buying a pack of gum, you don't really realize it.
Yep. So it's called Opinion, What People of Color Experience at the Theater. And it is written by Jose Solimayan. I don't know. It's attributed to Caitlin Hudson, but I know she didn't write this.
No, Caitlin is the editor that pulls them all up for the Broadway briefing.
I don't see this person's byline here, but it's in here somewhere.
Well, we're going to have a link to it on Offstage and On the Air.
Yeah, there is a link to it on Offstage and On the Air when we post this. And very quickly, in the last minute, we literally have 1 minute.
You save that to talk about my awesomeness.
Yes, the Actors Temple, which I think didn't even know about this. This is a...
my friend Stan is very involved in this. He is a whole part. I got the new Shabbat flyer from him today.
Yeah, so this was a theater around the turn of the century. And people like Shelley Winters, Aaron Chwat, Chwatt, went there, otherwise known as Red Buttons. The Three Stooges, Sandy Koufax, Hank Greenberg, Ed Sullivan, they all went to this synagogue, which was a synagogue that a rabbi took over and reached out to the Broadway community because there's a lot of actors. This is what a time when actors were really looked down upon as not good people. Anyway, it went into disarray, it reopened, it didn't make it. It's now a venue and a synagogue on Friday night, so people can rent this place to do shows, except for Friday nights and the High Holy Days, in which they have
their Friday night, November 22nd, they have their Broadway Shabbat featuring Seth Elson Hirsch and singers from Broadway and off-Broadway. And awesome. It's over there on West 47th Street,
yep.
Between 8th and 9th.
And
Stan says, it's not my grandfather's synagogue.
Yeah. And it reopened in 2003, if I've got my dates correctly, with as a synagogue and a venue. So that's it for today. We're just gonna sign off and go. I got to see what we're going to play. Oh, yeah. We're going to listen to a little bit of Tina as we leave.
Oh, and it's a good one because I've had this song in my head all week. That's a good thing. Tina songs are great songs to have stuck in your head.
There you go. So join us if you're listening on the radio. You're going to hear Austin News. Austin Monitor. Darn
Austin
it, Tracy.
Monitor
what's it
News.
Called? Austin Monitor News. I just went up. And stage. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye.
Left a good job in the city. Working for the man every night and day. And I never lost when I made it asleep. Worried about the weather.
The curtain has just come down on Always a Rebel, the musical, the story of a young woman just returned from New York to find all of the theaters shut down in the city that she lives. And she goes on to create a water fountain that is also a venue.
She's a rebel.
She's a rebel. We are backstage here, standing out by the dumpsters.
You
just gave Suri a
new idea for a show.
It's a chilly day. We're all gathered around the trash can that we have lit on fire. We have our fingerless gloves and we're chit-chatting around.
Chestnuts are roasting.
They are roasting. We have here with us backstage is Siri Garudev. Hi, Siri.
Hi, everyone.
And we have Grayson Hunt.
Hello.
Now, Siri, you came backstage before, didn't you?
When you were
here for Transom. So we're going to pick on Grayson to begin with, but this is a conversation. Feel free to go to, yeah, whatever I was trying to say. You want to do that.
Yeah.
The first question I always ask is, how did you find your love of theater? When did that happen for you?
I used to dress up as an old woman when I was 4 years old.
Okay, that is an odd choice. I'm just going to say that right now.
I know.
You know, could have been a princess. It could have been a knight, but an old woman.
Yep.
So like Yenta, the matchmaker.
It's very Grey Gardens,
yeah. and I'm kind of loving it right now.
Yeah. I knew about Grey Gardens before it was cool.
Yes, oh, okay. Me too. That's why I'm like, yes.
I was little Edie. Anyways, yes, I used to play dress up, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And as a trans person, I feel like I've been playing dress up for years too.
It's true. Can relate.
I was also a tour guide in Quebec City in the early aughts, and I would do a bilingual French and English variety show 2 times a night, 3 nights a week.
I wish I was on your tour. That sounds like that would be fun.
When you grew up, did you speak both French and English in your household?
Not in my household. My parents are Anglophones, and it was in the 80s at the height of bilingualism and multiculturalism in Canada, where all the Anglophone settler colonial parents wanted to send their kids to French school because it was...
Oui.
That's French. It means yes.
Très bien. So my parents sent us to a French school. The only French schools were Catholic schools. So I was a little atheist Anglophone baby learning about Jesus.
Well, there's a show there somewhere.
I was just about to go. I think there's another show around the corner.
Didn't understand it. But
how did we go from dress up Grey Gardens to performing on a stage?
I don't have an answer.
You don't have a good answer for that.
My friends call me a ham.
You were performing in life.
Did you do theater in high school or college or anything?
Nope. No, my high school was arts segregated, so you either did music, drama, or art class.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Interesting.
And I did art class because I was known as a freak.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
So I was a weirdo, and the weirdos did art class.
Okay.
And
what are you now?
People did drama. And the cool dudes did music.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. Cool dudes did not do music in my high school.
Well, yeah.
They were on the football field being football-y.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's fascinating. But now you work at UT right now.
I do.
And you work in the School of Theater, didn't you?
I do not.
Oh, I thought you did.
But that's a compliment.
I like. Oh, I thought you did.
I like getting misdisciplined.
You are well. I've
so. What do you? What do you do
in the College of Liberal Arts? I am the associate director. Excuse me. I'm getting too excited. I am in the College of Liberal Arts. Uh-huh. I'm the associate director of LGBTQ studies.
Oh, awesome!
That's awesome sauce.
Yeah, I have a PhD in philosophy. I studied at the New School in New York City.
I was about to say New York City. I was right around the corner.
Well, that's fascinating.
I did actor studio for a bit.
I made an assumption that you were in the School of Theater.
So you need to stop making
assumptions.
I like
to hang out with thespians.
I see.
I like to hang out with lesbians and thespians.
Lesbians and thespians.
Yeah. And everything in between.
Do you ever do anything with the school with the theater arts program? Or?
Well, we are currently hosting performer Becca Blackwell.
Who we tried to get on the show and they said no.
Really?
They are doing their own podcast today.
They are.
And they will not be on my little piddly ass show.
Should I tell Gene that's unacceptable?
Know, yeah. It is unacceptable. They came by the theater yesterday and we love them.
Yes. Becca's great and I know exactly what they're doing right now. They're doing a recording for LGBTQ Studies' new online magazine called QT Voices.
Oh, so we can blame you.
Yeah. You can blame me. And that's QT Voices as in a Q and a T,
and a
meaning
T.
Like cuties.
Is there
also
a
queer and trans.
Is there a right. website that folks can go to if they were interested in seeing this?
Not yet.
Okay, but there will be.
But go to LGBTQ Studies at UT Austin.
Great. Just now, where does the Gender and Sexuality Center fit in your world?
They are siblings.
They're siblings.
Yep.
So did when Shane was there, was Shane working with you? Shane Wally?
Shane precedes me.
Oh, okay.
He was working with the GSC before I got here.
Okay. So you're new.
I'm a
How
newbie.
Long have you been in Austin?
2 years. This is my third year now.
So you came to Austin for this job? Is this how you kind of came here? Or you were here and the job kind of came up organically that way?
Yes.
Okay. So wait, I got one more question to
ask
just,
you. You and I are like back and forth. Like,
wait.
Sorry, wait. I feel like we're interrogating you.
I have to turn you down. The computer did not like that.
Yeah, I can see it on the screen.
Computer said no to that.
I'm overwhelmed.
So All right, so you are in this show that Siri wrote currently,
yes.
And you decided to audition for it, as we learned here. But I'm getting the feeling that you haven't done a lot of theater as a performer before, based on what we're talking about here.
That is true.
Did not know that. Is this your first show?
Yes.
Rock
this is
well,
so
look, when
awesome.
I was a tour guide, I was the stage manager and the MC. So
right.
I was on stage for a variety show, but it was not a scripted
it's
show.
It's different. Scripted mm-hmm. shows are very
lines.
Different.
Oh, well.
You know what? That is so awesome. And yeah, I just, that makes yeah. me happy.
So when
that warmth gives me one fuzzy inside.
Lack of experience. Yeah. They were looking directly at you.
No, they were being careful not to look yeah, at me, but exactly. I'm like, I know who you're talking
so
about.
So really, there were those big giant red neon arrows over you going right
this
here,
guy.
Right here.
Who's the newbie?
It's not the only one, though, yeah. in the cast.
No.
So what made
you go, I mean, I know you two met, and you found this energy and understood it, but what made you go, yeah, I'm going to go on stage? I mean, what was that? Clicking moment to decide to get on stage in general, because you went to that other audition, so you were thinking about it.
A whole bunch of things. I'm 39 years old, and which is kind of young in some ways and old in others.
Well, it's young in my eyes, but you do not look 39
years old. You don't
look 39,
and I'll tell you this.
That.
I dreaded turning 40, and my mother told me my 40s would be my best. You find yourself, you mm-hmm. understand things, you look. And I was like, whatever, sell it to me all you want.
It's
and
true.
I'm 47, and yeah. so far they have been the best. I'm like,
I've just started putting things on my list, like, of things I want to do, and one of them was be in a play. Uh-huh. But another reason is my solidarity with and loyalty to Siri and
sure.
their work. I wasn't gonna not show up, but I also didn't want to embarrass them or me. And I think it was the right time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I
That's
don't think I was
so
ready
cool.
when I met you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of Siri, I learned things about you today that I did not know after we spent almost a year together.
I was about to say, you spent a lot of time
yeah.
together.
So, well, we didn't get a lot of time, just one-on-one time to chat.
No, because we were rehearsing.
Yeah, we were always doing stuff.
Yeah.
But this whole novel business was novel to me.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that about you. So are there any, and I actually didn't know the writing part of your life until you announced that you were having auditions for your show
mm-hmm.
when we were working on Transom. So I knew you as a performer.
Mm-hmm.
I know you as an activist. And we talked a lot about your performance art
mm-hmm.
As your true love. Now I learned that you've written a novel and that novel has been turned into a play. What other surprises have you for us?
Well, I started like as a poet. And then I wanted to, like, expand. So I started writing short stories that got also published in Colombia, like anthologies and stuff. And then I was like, I think I want to commit to a novel, like a full story, which I'm still figuring out because it's so difficult. Like, my novel is super short, so I'm not...
But it's still, it's like when a runner goes, I'm going to commit to a marathon.
Right.
I mean, that's not a 5K. Like, that's... To commit to a novel, you ran a marathon.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
so exciting.
Yeah.
I know I couldn't do it, so...
I was just like, I wanted that challenge. And like, yeah, it was really pleasant. Like, it was great. I loved it.
So what's your next challenge?
I'm trying to write a novel of like for you young audiences about
mm-hmm.
like a person that goes around the world backpacking, looking for their dad, which is always about me and not about me. Like, kind
yeah.
of like,
yep.
But it's like this sort of like adventure of this person just like going around the world and trying to find their dad, which... kind of mirrors my life a little bit.
Now, you're also studying
mm-hmm.
For
my
a doctorate?
PhD.
Mm-hmm. Yep, which is the same thing.
Yes.
There's some smart people up in here today, Lisa. There's some smart people up in here today.
So, and do you have your doctorate, Grayson?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so.
You see, smart people.
So then once KT and Siri get theirs, y'all could like be the three doctors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
That sounds Hopefully. Like another play.
But that's an awful lot to do and to deal with. And honestly, when I see a lot of people that are furthering their education and doing advanced work, they're also, it seems like they're always doing a million different things. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, how do you keep up with all that and keep your sanity?
Oh, it's sometimes I can't, and I just cancel all appointments, just like jump out of the boat for a week or something. Like I'm just like, but in general, I try to sleep well, and eat well, and exercise a lot. Even if I think that I don't have the time for it, I need to move my body mm-hmm. and like be like a really good and scheduling and like managing my time. But it's something that you get better and better at. At the beginning, when I came here, no English at all, first time talking English and studying and freaking out, I was like horrible. And now I feel like, oh, this doctorate I have, like it's doable. Takes it like a learning curve for sure.
Yeah, that's got it. I've always had a lot of respect for people. I'm not good with languages. And I think if I got thrown in, that's not true. I think I'm better than I think.
I was about to say, you and I throw out some random yeah. different stuff
Never
out
mind.
There.
It's my dream.
She's over there blowing hot air.
Is my dream to live somewhere where English is not spoken. Mm-hmm. Because,
and that you have to fend and really
Because really, immerse. I'm lazy. And if I can get away with doing what I already know, I'm just going to do it, which is what typically happens if you
it's
are
very American of
an
you.
I know. Well,
speak my language.
Not as bad
my
as my mother was. I'm just going to say that.
Fair.
Just going to say that. She was the ugly American.
She was not an ugly American.
Oh, she was. I traveled with Europe, to Europe with her several times. She was. Everybody had to meet her on her level. That was it.
Didn't I have a we question.
Yes.
So here we can say do things like to the audience?
Absolutely. Yeah. So what would you like to
what
tell people
do?
About
it's,
and tell
it's
them
just
to
that
do?
I was thinking about when I see Grayson on stage so good that you should go and see him.
Oh my
go
gosh.
And see him because it's like worth it. And we have other like really good performers that is like, wow. And look at this like weird campy shenanigans that we created.
Yeah, there are so, and I know most of the cast. I think there's just a couple I don't know. And yeah, you should definitely get off your ass yes. and go see this show because it's pretty amazing. And now you've just learned that this is Grayson's first show, and so you can go sit in the front row and like
don't
give
bring
him a
tomatoes.
Hard time.
Yeah,
just bring popcorn. Jazz hands and applause.
Well, great. Well, Grayson, are you going to do more? After this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. You feeling
inspired
now?
If Austin will have me, I will do
we'll
more.
Have
well,
you.
Yeah. Where I was like, why wouldn't we? That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, thank you guys for joining us backstage.
Thank you.
Have a great time with the rest of the run.
Thank you.
And come back and visit us here.
Thank you.
We will.
Go see the future of Smile.
We run until November 23rd.
Dorothy
Art Center.
Do it. You have to do it.
Lisa and I say now.
Just do it. All right. Adios.
Yes, I'm sure of it. It's David Kollowitz, the actor.
He's magnificent.
It's David Kollowitz, the star.